I think we're over on miracle maybe number 26, somewhere like that. We're looking in the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter, 17. When you get there, turn over to verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. All right. So we're looking at a miracle that's not often mentioned and it's not often preached about. And I'll be honest with you, I when I realized this was where we were going, I kind of knew what the text was, and I thought to myself, I've never heard anyone teach on this. I've never heard anyone preach on this. I've read it myself, and I don't even know where we're going to go. But the Lord, as we studied it and read it over and over, God's give us certainly a thought, maybe not a sermon in this short miracle, but certainly a devotional thought tonight. But the Bible says this, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, did not your master pay tribute? And he saith, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him or preceded him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, of strangers. And Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. And so may God add the blessings to the reading of his word. So let me just say two things really quick before we set the stage of what takes place in this miracle. So to begin with, this is the only miracle that involves a creature. Now we know there's the miracle of the fishes and so forth like that, but where a creature actually is involved, in this case a fish, I say creature, but I'm thinking of it as being a created being, but where this fish actually has part in that miracle. We're speaking of the miracles of the Lord, not thinking back of Jonah and the whale, but we're just speaking of the miracles he performed while he was walking upon this earth. So it's the only miracle that involves a creature, namely a fish. But it's also the only miracle resulting in money. So that's two interesting facts about that miracle. Now, let me just break down this conversation here. What was happening was there, according to biblical law, because this is a Jewish custom we're reading about, not a Roman custom, but a Jewish custom. And being a Jewish custom, it's found in scriptures over in the book of Exodus. And so basically what this tax is, they're speaking of in this text, it's a temple tax. And all males over 20 years of age or older are required once a year to pay this temple tax, and the temple was kept up. The furnishings were maintained. Sacrifices were bought and so forth with that money from the temple tax. And so the temple tax per man, 20 years of age and over, was a drachma, which was about 2 days' wages. And so they were trying to trip Peter up in an effort to kind of catch the Lord in claiming some kind of deity or being a false witness or a false prophet. And so that's kind of what this conversation says here. And so that's kind of the, I'm not going to say insignificance, but that is definitely the setting of this text. And so what Jesus replied, he simply is implying that, look, he's the king of the earth. And so he does not have to pay a tax. He owns the temple. The temple is there because of him. And so he's making that point. But at the same time, he lets Peter know, look, I'm also going to submit to the laws not of the land, but to the laws of God's word. And so I'm going to submit. And so here's what he tells Peter to do. And here's, let me stop right there and just remind you, in case somebody's watching tonight that's not been watching, or somebody is here tonight that's not been here for the miracles of Christ. I don't want us to be in this series for so long that we forget that this is not just a Bible study. I'm not just preaching through the miracles of Jesus just to have something to do. But I believe that we live in a day and time where some of God's people, they truly need miracles in their lives. I also believe we live in a time when the Lord is still working miracles, where miracles are still taking place. I do think it's sad and a shame that when God does miracles in our life, we don't have more people standing up in church and testifying about, hey, I got something to say. Here's what was going on in my life, but this week, here's how God delivered me. So we need to be doing that more and more. But I believe there's people of God who have true needs in their life, and it's not just needs that you can scrape together and bring together and make happen, but it's needs of such magnitude that you know only a miracle can solve the dilemma that you're in, or only a miracle can lift the burden that you're carrying, or only a miracle can deliver you from the storm that rages around you. So I believe that that's where we are at as a people, that there's people watching on Liberty Live, there's people right here inside of this church, middle schoolers, high schoolers over there, Embrace Grace ladies downstairs who need miracles in their life. Maybe they've shared it as a prayer request to someone else, but maybe nobody knows about it, but it's just that inner burden, that inner struggle that you carry. And you know that if the Lord doesn't do something, nothing is going to be done. That's our setting here tonight as we're in the miracles of Jesus. So we've got to realize, if you've come tonight and that's you, you've got to know that God is still in the miracle working business, that He's interested in doing great and mighty things in your life, and that He's able to do above and beyond all that you ask and all that you even think. So if you can ask it, He can do above and beyond it. If you can think it, He can do above and beyond that. In fact, you know, the word says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared, or in other words, what God can do for those that love Him. So somebody here, somebody on Liberty Live, somebody watching this a year down the road, somebody watching this tomorrow morning, somebody watching this 3 years down the road, you need to understand before I describe exactly what took place as far as the miracle goes here, you need to know that God has a miracle in store for you. If God did not have a miracle in store for you, I don't believe He would have had us coming through this series on the miracles of Christ, and He certainly would not have parked us right where we are tonight. Because this miracle is rather interesting to me for many reasons. Now watch what happens. So as we look at the text, we see in verse 27 what the Lord has commanded. So there's a couple of things. This is also the only miracle where we don't actually see the result of the miracle. In other words, man with the withered hand, Christ spoke to him, told him stretch out his hand. He was healed, cleansed. The man stretches out his hand. We see the result. The woman with the issue of blood, Lord heals her. We see the result. The demon-possessed men that Jesus healed, we see the demons cast out, the men restored to health and wholeness. We see the result. Jesus walking on the water to the disciples in a storm, He speaks to the wind and the waves. The wind lays down, the waves calm. We see the result. So in all of these other miracles, we see the result. This is the only miracle where we don't see the result, but yet we by faith, we preach about this miracle that it happened. And here's how we know. Because Jesus told Peter to go do these things, and this is what's going to happen. And so if the Lord spoke it, if it's His word and He spoke it, you and I know that it happened and it come true. So I preach this miracle even though we didn't read the result. We know what the result was because the Lord spoke it and His word is truth. But watch what He tells Peter. So He tells Peter, He says, okay, a couple of things, Peter. You're an old seasoned fisherman. Here's what I want you to do. There's several steps here. Number one, He says, I want you to go to the sea, and you're going to do what I'm about to tell you to do. Now, there were fish in the River Jordan. So there were fish in all of the smaller tributaries of the Jordan River, the small creeks and branches, if you will. So Peter could have been instructed to go to any of those, but he wasn't. The Lord said, I want you to go to the sea. Number two, Peter, here's what you're going to do. Peter, I know that you are used to casting out nets and catching fish. You're a fisherman by trade. You're in the commercial fishing industry. You succeed at that or have succeeded at that in your life before me, your BC days before Christ. You succeeded at that because you threw out large draw nets and you drew in fish, big fish, little fish, small fish, so forth, and you took them and you sold them at a marketplace. But this time, Peter, you're going to do something a little different. This is not the kind of fisherman you've been. What I want you to do, I want you to go to the sea, not the creek or the river, but I want you to go to the sea. I want you to tie on a hook, on a line, and I want you to throw that hook out into the sea. And Peter, what's going to happen is a fish is going to bite that hook. I want you to pull that fish in, and when you get that fish in and brought in, I want you to look in its mouth. And when you look in its mouth, you're going to pull out a coin, and that coin is going to be worth exactly 4 drachma, which is 4 days' labor, 2 days for you, that's the temple tax for you, 2 days for me, that's the temple tax for me. You'll find that coin in the fish's mouth. I want you to take that coin, and I want you to go, and I want you to pay the temple tax. That's the story. That's the command of Jesus. Now, we know that. We don't have to read the result. We know that was what the Lord spoke. We know that's what Peter did. We know that's exactly what happened. But what I want you to know tonight, and follow with me because this is very, it's kind of very quick. It's very simple. It's just a verse. Think about this. So Peter's going to the sea. He's familiar with that. He is to fish in a way he's not familiar with a hook and line. That's the way most of us fish. Most of us have not fished with draw nets. But he's to fish in a way he's never fished. He's to throw that line into the sea. Now watch. So that had to be precisely at the right place and at the right time. And then there's this fish going to come along and bite that hook. Not just any fish. Now watch. This is going to be a fish who is swimming around one day. And somebody, somewhere, threw in or lost overboard or whatever means it got in there. Somebody lost a coin that was worth 4 drachma, 4 days' labor. Somebody threw it in the sea or dropped it off of their fishing boat. I don't know how it got there, but it wound up in the sea. This fish swims along, and maybe he sees this shiny little coin falling through the water. He thinks it's a bait fish. It's the glimmer, the silver glimmer of a bait fish. And so that fish runs over and swallows that coin. I'll never forget one time I trout fished in Cherokee, and I used to always take trout, not trying to gross you out or anything. It's just a fisherman's trick. But I would always take trout, and I'd cut their stomach open and see what they'd been eating, because that lets you match the hatch, so to speak. You see what they've been eating, you match that, you can catch more fish. I cut that trout open, and this is where the creek had run through Cherokee. And probably about where the casino is now. There was no casino back then when I was a teenage boy. And inside of that thing's stomach, there was a very small onion ring. Dairy Queen was just up the road. There were cigarette butts. There were pine needles off of hemlocks that had fell in. Looked like little green worms, so he'd eat a lot of those pine needles. And there was the old pop tab on the Coke bottles, the kind that used to pull off, not the ones you just click back and forth and your can of Coke is open, but the ones you'd actually have to pull off. It had actually swallowed one of those, the bottom part of the tab of one of those, because it was shiny and silvery. So that fish, man, he must have been eating his share of Tums is all I know, Rolaids, because he had been eating all kinds of junk. Just the onion ring alone from Dairy Queen was enough to probably kill the guy with heart disease. So this fish was swimming along, and he probably saw this coin falling, and he ran over and he gobbled it up. So now he's swimming around, but at the Lord's command, one day, the Lord puts a hook in front of this fish, and the Lord sees to it that that fish goes over and eats that hook. And then Peter pulls it in. He opens the mouth of that fish, And inside of the mouth of that fish was not the legs of a frog sticking out, which has happened before, or not the tail fin of another fish that this fish had eaten. That's happened before. But inside the mouth of this fish was a coin that happens to be the exact amount that Peter needed to pay temple tax for him and the Lord, so the Lord could be found to be obedient to the Word of God. Now, put all that together in your mind. Now, either tonight you have got to say that that was total happenstance, pure coincidence, in which case you just need to get up and leave tonight because you're not going to be interested in my closing words, nor will they do you any good. Or you've got to think through that and think that was so complex. I mean, the odds of that happening are pretty much slim to none. It could never happen that way. Out of a sea full of fish that could have come over and bit that hook, I don't know how many, thousands, tens of thousands of fish in the Sea of Galilee, but that one fish, which just so happened one day, he ate not a half a shekel, which would have been 2 days' labor, and not just not a smaller amount, not a larger amount, but the exact amount that the Lord said that that fish would have in his mouth. The fish swims along, eats it, and it's that very fish out of all of the sea that was at the very spot, at the very moment, right time, right place, when the Lord said, there's a hook, Peter's on the other end of that line, I need you fish to go over and eat that hook so he can pull you in. Well, listen, there's been some days on the lake where I wish the Lord would have sent a fish my way to bite the hook. I can promise you that. But the odds of that happening in that manner, that will never happen again unless it's commanded by the Lord. There's no way that could happen again. But you know why that happened again? Well, yes, there's a tax to be paid. But Peter had kind of opened his mouth a little bit ahead of the Lord. He got ahead of the Lord, and he opened his mouth. Remember, we've preached about Peter before. We talked about how that his name was Simon, and that was his worldly name, his fleshly name, Simon. The Lord changed his name when he met Jesus and said, you're going to be called Peter now. That means the rock. And so we find occasions in Scripture where he's called Simon, which is a reference to his fleshly life. Either he's acting fleshly or it's referring to his worldly life. There's occasions in Scripture where he's called Peter. That's when he's acting like who God called him to be. And then there's times in Scripture where he's called Simon Peter, where you're seeing a little bit of both. You're seeing the fleshly part of Peter, but he's also the Spirit-filled, God-called man. And so you'll see both. John, remember Peter, James, and John? John was around Peter more than anybody. And so John most often called him Simon Peter because when you work with somebody, you minister with somebody, you see their fleshly side, but you also see their Spirit-filled, God-called side. So John saw both sides of Peter. He saw, hey, I see you're a man, you're very much a man, but I also know you got a heart for God. And I think that's where a lot of us fall in at. We still very much have a large part of flesh in us, but we got a heart for God at the same time. But the Lord in this text, he doesn't call him Peter, and he doesn't call him Simon Peter. He calls him Simon, and it's as if it's a rebuke or a scold. See, Peter got ahead of the Lord. And what he really needed because he got ahead of the Lord was he needed a miracle. Because listen, Jesus was, he was as the disciples when they left their trace to follow him. They weren't wealthy anymore. Remember, Jesus said, I don't have no place to lay my head. His brothers, his sisters denied him and forsook him. His own countrymen turned against him. And so they were poor, extremely poor. But it was time for temple taxes to be paid. What are they going to do? Because Peter done run his mouth and got ahead of the Lord. And now Peter's created the dilemma here. And so Peter needed a miracle. And so the Lord, through all of these steps we talked about, made this miracle take place. And Peter was able to pay temple tax, not just for himself, but for the Lord also, with one coin worth 4 drachma in the fish's mouth. With all that said, so how does that apply to you? what does that mean for you and I tonight? Those of you watching, those that may be watching a year down the road or 6 years down the road or 10 years down the road. Well, I'll tell you what it means. It means this. It means maybe you got ahead of the Lord. It means maybe you're in need of a miracle. Maybe it means you've acted out of flesh and now you find yourself in this predicament, if you will, and you're scratching your head trying to figure out how you're going to get out. You're scratching your head trying to figure out, Lord, what are you going to do? Lord, can you even do anything? Or maybe tonight you have just been living life as a Simon Peter. You're very much made of flesh, but you also have a heart for God inside of you. You've got a desire for the things of God, and you're just living life, but now life has taken you to a place where you just need God's hand, God's touch. You need God to do something, and if He doesn't do something, there's nobody else that can do something. And you're scratching your head trying to figure out, God, I don't even know what you could do. This is such a mess. But hear me out. If God can ordain everything that He'd ordained in this miracle right here, I think miracle number 26, don't hold me to that. But if He can do everything, if the Lord could do everything He did to line this miracle up, I mean, Peter had to go to the right place. He had to be there at the right time. The fish has to be there at the right place, has to come along at the right time. It can't be the fish next to that fish because he doesn't have the coin in his mouth. He didn't eat the coin when it fell in the water because somebody threw it in or whatever. Everything had to line up exactly right. And God worked a miracle. But see, the Lord knows how to do that. Number one, He's not limited by time or space. He's not limited by nature. And in this situation here, time and space didn't influence the miracle. It didn't stop the miracle. That fish could have been on the other side of the sea. Peter could have wound up on the opposite side. But time, space, place, everything was lined up perfect by the Lord. And a miracle took place. Listen, so I want you to know this. Here's what I want you to know before we say amen. No matter how complicated you think your situation is, no matter how difficult you think it is, and so it leaves you wondering, Lord, there's no way you can work this out. Too many things have got to be done. Too many things have got to take place. Listen, you've got to believe me when I'm telling you that the Lord can work it out, that He can make it all take place and it be at the right place, the right time. In fact, now imagine this. Watch. Long before Peter opened his mouth and needed a miracle, I don't know how long before, a day before, a year before, 6 months before, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But my point is, sometime before Peter needed this miracle and was about to do what the Lord told him to do, throw that hook into the sea, sometime before that, God was already making provisions for Peter's need. He allowed that coin to fall in the water. Whatever happened, I don't know. All we know is somewhere, sometime, a coin fell in the water and a fish ate it, and that fish swam around with a coin stuck in his mouth. He probably couldn't swallow it, get it on down. It was stuck. So before that miracle came, God was already making preparations. And you need to know that. You need to know that, yeah, you need that miracle now, and you're expecting it now, and you're believing it now, and by faith you're holding to a promise now, because this is a promise from God's Word for you and for your need, that before that prayer gets answered, you need to know, even though you're still waiting on it, you've not seen it, and you don't know how, you need to know God's doing things behind the scenes at this moment to make this miracle take place in your life. And that's what He did in the life of Peter. That's what He's done to many others all throughout life's way in the history of mankind. And that's what He's going to do in your life too. In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a mental note, because this text is for you tonight, whether you're on Liberty Live, whether you're sitting in here. This text is for you tonight, every bit of it. You're like, my situation's so complex. I don't know possibly how the Lord could work a miracle in this situation. There's so many details that has to be worked. Listen, he can handle the details. He did it right here. So this message is for you. I need you to make a mental note, and I need you, or maybe even write it down, that when God works this miracle in my life, I'm going to give testimony about this miracle that he's worked. So you be ready to tell me. You be ready to tell this church. You be ready to tell somebody that, hey, here's the miracle that the Lord has done. I remember when on that Wednesday night we talked about the miracle of the fish. And I took that message personally. I took it as a promise. I waited for it, and in God's time, when everything come together, God let me have that miracle. And so I'm giving testimony of God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ with miracles in my life. This miracle is one of the most interesting I think you'll read about. Maybe not by appearance one of the most powerful, but it's certainly one of the most interesting. And it just shows God's love for those that are his. What a miracle and what a testimony Peter must have had. He should have been used to God working miracles in his life. The Lord had already worked miracles by the catching of the fish, the great catching of fish, by there on the shore of Galilee at the resurrection, by delivering him from prison in the days to come. He had many, many testimonies of God's deliverance in his life, God's miracles in his life, but here is a testimony, I'm sure, that he shared all through the ages. And to God be the glory for what great things he has done. Stand tonight, if you will, and I want to thank those of you on Liberty Live for joining us. I thank those of you that are here tonight. I want you to hug somebody, tell them you love them, and please tell them you'll be praying for them this week because they need your prayers, and you need theirs as well. We love you, and we'll see you Sunday morning.